The Lord be with you. We read from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and he might send them forth to preach and have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Word on the opening prayer that we had, and it's the reality of martyrdom. That's why the priest wears red, and it's for the color of the blood that they shed. And it's very interesting, during the course of the year, almost every week in ordinary time, you're going to have some martyr. It's very interesting. Today we have two martyrs. Tomorrow we've got another martyr. Sunday would be another martyr, so it's just martyr after martyr after martyr after martyr. Tomorrow is St. Agnes, who was an early Roman martyr. And Sunday, obviously, we don't celebrate it, but it would be St. Vincent. So, martyrdom. Some people think that the most martyrs were in the first 3 centuries before Constantine gave the Christians freedom to practice religion. But the most martyrs in the history of the church were last century and will probably be even more this century, which is very interesting. Just an example that many of you know would be in Mexico, the Cristeros. There were hundreds of martyrs that were killed in Mexico. Pope John Paul II beatified some of them. Pope Benedict canonized some of them. But they just beatified and canonized a few of the many who were martyred. Would you like to be a martyr? Hello? Well, I think we all would. I would like to be a martyr. And most of you very sheepishly are kind of nodding your head. Very sheepishly, which means very timidly you're kind of nodding your head, looking to see if anyone's looking at you, right? And I think all of us have to admit that the prospect of martyrdom scares us. When I have to get a shot, like a flu shot, Father, I haven't even given it to you yet. I'm probably not the only one in the world that does that. No? But the key is this. We don't have the grace of martyrdom right now. None of us do. Hey, don't kid yourself. However, if God asks you to be martyr in that moment, he'll give you the grace. You hear that? So we don't have it now. However, let me just tell you how it comes about. You read the lives of these two martyrs today, and you read the life of St. Agnes that we celebrate tomorrow, or you read like St. Maria Goretti, or St. Maximilian Kolbe, it doesn't happen as easily as you think. These people, like Maria Grady Kolbe, they're praying, they're fasting, they're sacrificing. I mean, they're, you know, it doesn't happen just like this. They're really living a holy life of prayer, penance, charity, faithfulness to their vocation. So that is just, if I can use the word in English, the culmination, okay? The culmination, which means what? The high point of what they've been living anyway. Is that clear? Because I've got confirmation kids, that confirmation kids will say this, what about this, Father? If this person is always living in mortal sin, and right away, there he is, and they ask him to be a martyr, will you deny your faith? No, and they shoot him in the head. Viva Cristo Rey. Will he go right to heaven? That's a typical confirmation boy question, no? Which is a good question. And I'll tell them, it doesn't happen that way. You can't be living in mortal sin, mortal sin, mortal sin. All of a sudden, there you're given the grace of martyrdom, and you're going to be strong, you're not going to be able to resist suffering. So what I'm saying is it's a culmination of living constantly, trying to live constantly, what is called heroic virtue. And when a saint is canonized, what happens? They're canonizing someone who lived heroic virtue. Do anyone even know what that is? That means day after day after day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month, this person is really trying to love God with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. So you don't become a martyr like slipping on a banana peel. Here I am. No. But rather, it's something in which you're living out on a daily basis. Read the life of Kolbe. Read Maria Goretti. Read any martyr. They're living a life in which they're really trying to love God fully and totally. Then God sees, like a ripe pear ready to be picked, they're ready. They're ready to die, and God asks them interiorly, are you ready? And they say yes. Or take someone like Joan of Arc. Did you ever read Mark Twain? Mark Twain's greatest work, did you know Mark Twain was not even a believer? His greatest work was Joan of Arc. Buy it, Ignatius Press. Mark Twain admired her so much. His other books, you know, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, he wrote just like that. But Joan of Arc, he wrote and rewrote and rewrote again because he admired her so much. Joan of Arc, the maiden of Orleans, no? Who was burnt at the stake, by the way. They said, she's a witch, but when they're burning her, they said, we are burning a saint. They knew that this woman was just a teenager, was a great saint. But she was living a life of holiness. And what's very interesting about her, the French could not beat the English. The English was much more powerful. You know anything about history? How did they win? God called this woman. She was not General Patton. She was not even Napoleon Bonaparte. She had no military experience at all. And she heard voices. She didn't have schizophrenia, okay? She heard voices. Who are the voices? Michael the Archangel. St. Catherine of Alexandria. She heard these voices that spoke to her. But what's very interesting is, what did she do to the French army before they went off to battle? Any of you know? You didn't say all of it. First of all, she kicked the prostitutes out because the soldiers had prostitutes. Yes, she kicked the prostitutes out. You're not going to have prostitutes. Then she got them to examine their conscience and all go to confession. So get the prostitutes out, get them in the state of grace, get them to love God, get them to live a sacramental life, and they beat the English against all odds. And then they accused her of being a witch and they burnt her at the stake. This did not happen just by chance. It happened by divine providence. So right now, none of us, None of us have the grace to be a martyr. But if God calls us, we will have the grace. And it could happen, my friends, in the near future that there could be downright persecution in this country. There already is. You know that. There already is. But violent persecution, like in Mexico, the Cristeros, we haven't arrived at that yet. But it could happen. So we have to prepare ourselves. And if we're prepared, God will ask us if we're ready to do it. We say yes, then we'll be given the grace. Amen? Amen. And here we have the apostles. When Jesus called the apostles, were they perfect? They were everything except perfect. They were fighting among themselves to see who was most important. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth, as we say in New York. Open up mouth, insert foot, a New York expression, no? He was making extravagant promises that he'd never keep. So here we have Jesus calling the apostles. What changed the apostles? 9 days. 9 nights. Silence, prayer, fasting with Mary. That changed them. I repeat, 9 days. It was the first and most powerful novena in the history of the church. 9 days. Where was that? In the upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. Who's present there? The apostles with Mary. Can you imagine them seeing Mary pray? The power of the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They were with. She was with them the whole time. And because of her prayers, after 9 days, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down upon them. How? In wind, in fire, in power. And these men, and maybe the best example would be Peter. Peter denied our Lord 3 times. Why? Cowardice. Spanish would say una gallina. Una gallina. He was a chicken, huh? He chickened out. Well, what happened? The Holy Spirit descends upon him, and he gets up and gives a homily. Do you know how many were converted in his first homily? 3,000. Can you imagine 3,000 people converted in one homily? If I could convert 2 or 3, I'd be happy. Starting with myself, huh? What a powerful homily that was. Can any of you know how Peter died? Not in a car accident, no? How did he die? Crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to die the way my master died. Crucify me upside down. Here was a man that could not even say that Jesus was Lord. At the end of his life, after repenting and praying and the Holy Spirit descending upon him, he died in the most glorious fashion in the history of the world. Crucified, but not only crucified, upside down. So let us be inspired by the martyrs. Let us be inspired by the apostles. Let us be inspired by St. Peter to do great things for God. And if God calls us to be martyrs, we have to say yes. And he'll give us the grace to shed our blood in imitation of the greatest martyr, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.